In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Yesterday we had a conversation at the Chavez house about one particular word in Spanish and how you say it in English. What's the translation of it? It's a tough word to be able to translate. It took a long time to be able to do so. That is a word which is used quite often in today's reading, and it doesn't translate it consistently. So there's a reason why it should be something that we do indeed struggle to be able to translate as well. That's the word encouragement. Encouragement. We spoke about that yesterday, and there was even a professor of Spanish who finally gave us a way of translating it, but one of the words that he uses is not one of the ones that's used here. All the other ones are. For encouragement, it says here, soportar, so dar apoyo, to give support. It also uses the word, where is it in here, consuelo. Another way of doing it is anima, animar. That's to give anima, to give soul, to give life in that way. This first reading is all about that. Yes, remember last week we were focusing upon the life that God put before us in the story of Tobias, who had a really good story. I hope you read it. It's a very powerful story. It's not merely a romance, it's a quest. So it's something for the men as well to read about a quest, not to destroy a dragon, as would be really cool to do. You can read about the dragon in the book of Daniel at the very end if you want to read about a dragon in the Bible. Read it sometime, chapter 12. But you see Tobias fighting against a demon. And Tobias, because of the archangel Raphael, if you had another little brother, his name would be Raphael, because you're Miguel, or if you have Miguel, you're Gabriel, and your other brother probably would be Raphael, right? After all the archangels, no? Okay. Would have left that one out. Well, Raphael, one of the archangels, gave a remedy to be able to beat up Satan, to kick a demon out. Read about it. You didn't read about it last week. You didn't obey. Read about that book. So that's what it's all about. And here, we pick up on that in the struggles that you and I have in life. It's St. Paul writing in 2 Corinthians this letter about difficult times, struggles that you'll have in life, and how you go forward, and why you endure struggles. There's lots of reasons why. There are natural evils. There are physical evils that go on. There's moral evils that other people do to you and I, or we participate in, and so we receive the blowback from what we've done, what other people have done, and what sin has done within the world, and natural evils as well. And what our Lord provides for you and I here through the mouth of his prophet, his apostle, St. Paul, is to say this. The reason why you receive such difficulties, such hardships within this present life, such difficulties, is because it's something that our Lord wishes to use in you to give the same consolation which you receive because you get through them, to pass them on to others, to give that same encouragement, dar anima, consuelo, apoyo, to give all those things to others. When you're going through something, sometimes that can be a help. Say, God, you have some sort of use in this, and I'm not going to see it for a while, maybe. But I'd be willing to bet that there's going to be somebody else later on after I make it through it, because I'm pretty sure you don't want me to die through this, God, but if you do, that somehow supports you as well. When I'm on the other side of it, there's somebody else who's going to need whatever it is that you give to me as well, and I'm supposed to pass that on. So anytime you want, God, give me that consuelo. Give me that apoyo. Give me that anima. Give me that encouragement. And I'll try to be attentive to pass it on. That's the mentality that you and I can begin to take when we take on the mind of Christ. We begin to see things through a theological lens and not through a natural lens. Instead of seeing things as the world sees things, to see things as God really sees them. That's what God wants. And that's what he provides. And so, if you're going through something right now, well, there's the message for you. Take that. Maybe life is great because you just made your first Holy Communion and you can't wait to make your second Holy Communion and you know it's going to be even better than your first Holy Communion. Maybe you're just still living on that high like this, or there's something great that's going on in your life and so there's nothing that's going wrong. Praise God. Well, then from this Mass, to take a meditation to say, well, God, there are difficulties that you've brought me through. You gave me an encouragement. You gave me support. You gave me anima, your consuelo. Help me to be attentive to somebody else who's going to go through that same difficulty and I can give them what you gave me. Simple as that. Our Lord desires to use the difficulties that we go through. Somehow they fit to his glory. Your job and mine is to keep our eyes focused on him so we can receive that grace and wait upon it. And then when he does give it, to remember what he's done for us. Because we're not the only one who will pass through that. The Lord has a plan for it even beyond us. And so those graces given are graces which we are to become for others. That's what it means to be Catholic. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
¿Qué hace Jesús por nosotros en este Evangelio? El Señor Jesús sube a un lugar alto. ¿Por qué va a la montaña? Para predicar un mensaje elevado a los que quieren alcanzar a las alturas de la virtud, de la vida espiritual. Aquí Jesús da la nueva ley. Recordar que San Moisés. San Moisés subió a una alta montaña donde recibió la antigua ley de los 10 mandamientos. Moisés dio 10 leyes para enseñar a los hombres a vivir bien en esta tierra. Pero la nueva ley de Jesús es diferente. En verdad es muy diferente. Jesús dio simplemente 8 bienaventuranzas y su propósito es dirigir a las almas al enfocarse en la vida eterna, en el país celestial para el cual fueron creados. Jesús dijo, bienaventurados los mansos, porque ellos poseerán la tierra. Está diciendo que los mansos deben tener almas pacíficas y corazones sinceros. Nuestro Señor Jesús muestra que su trabajo es importante y con recompensa. Dice que poseerán la tierra. ¿Qué es la tierra que está prometida? La tierra aquí es la tierra de la que nos enseña el Salmo. Se dice, creo yo que viviré la bondad del Señor en la tierra de los vivos. La herencia de esta tierra es la inmortalidad del cuerpo y la gloria de la resurrección eterna. ¿Cuál es la mansedumbre que necesitamos para obtener esta recompensa? La mansedumbre es lo contrario de orgullo. La ambición. Recuerde que lo que Jesús dice en otro lugar, aprended de mí, que soy manso y humilde de corazón, y habitaré en descanso para las almas de ustedes. Esta gracia se la pedimos la Sagrada Corazón de Jesús en nuestras oraciones. Se dice Jesús, manso y humilde de corazón. Haz mi corazón semejante al tuyo. Jesus, meek and humble of heart. Make my heart like unto thine. Jesús también nos exhorta, bienaventurados los que lloran, porque ellos serán consolados. Jesús no se refiere a todos los que lloran y se lamentan, se refiere a los que lloran sus propias lágrimas de arrepentimiento. También podría decirse a los que se afligen por la maldad de este mundo y lloran por los pecados de los demás. Necesitamos hacer reparación por ellos, especialmente durante este mes de la Sagrada Corazón. Dice el Señor, bienaventurados los pacificadores, ellos serán llamados hijos de Dios. Sabemos los valiosos que son los pacificadores. Jesús también lo sabe. No los llamaba servos ni colaboradores, los llama hijos de Dios. Es muy importante, es muy íntimo. El que ama la paz ama a Cristo, el actor de la paz. El profeta Miqueas habla de Jesús. Él será paz. Jesús es paz. La razón porque el Hijo de Dios bajo del cielo fue para condenar al demonio, actor de la discordia, y para hacer la paz entre Dios y el género humano reconciliado a sus miembros con Dios. Hoy pedimos, especialmente durante este mes, al Sagrado Corazón de Jesús, todos estos benditos características. Dirigen nuestra mente más allá de este mundo de dificultades, hacia las cosas que importan. La realidad celestial y la recompensa eterna que esta misa y la Eucaristía, el Corpus Christi, aquí prefiguran. En el nombre del Padre, del Hijo y del Espíritu Santo.